The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show. It's Anton in for Pat. Looks more and more likely that major dividends are going to be coming down the track for pandemic workers. It could be flexible working. It might be to do with pensions. It could be to do with an increase in holiday days. There's a lot to yet be ironed out as to how it is going to be done. But that it is going to be done is pretty much a racing certainty. The issue, of course, is it'll come at what cost and with what impact on other aspects of the budget. To discuss this, I'm joined by Sean Defoe, who is News Talk's political correspondent. Sean, can I just confirm that, first of all, at this stage, it is fairly certain that there's going to be something in the pot for frontline workers?
Yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if there wasn't. Just the detail of it is what has to be worked out, and the actual cost of it as well. There is an acknowledgement in government that, look, a lot of the workers in the pandemic, particularly healthcare workers, went totally above and beyond, and that they deserve to be rewarded, and they've all essentially committed to it now. It's just the thorny question of how do you do it, because it started as a fairly simple premise, didn't it? It's our healthcare workers were brilliant. They were absolute heroes for the last 18 months. We need to reward them. But now it's sort of sprawled out and it's gone beyond healthcare workers to other people working during the pandemic who kind of went above and beyond. And where does that stop, I suppose, is the real question. Who exactly is going to get this, and where do you draw the line to say, well, your work was really worthy of recognition and your work wasn't, at different points, either in the public sector or increasingly, it looks like now, across the private sector as well.
Well, we discussed this yesterday on the programme, and it was interesting to see the reaction that came in, because there was a sort of a delineation of merit that began to emerge. So the first category that pretty much everybody agreed on was that those who were exposed to a greater degree of risk should get something. In other words, the people who had to wear the full-on hazmat suits, be in negative pressure environments and attend to those with COVID. Then the next thing was, well, what about healthcare workers who are just exposed? In other words, who are working the wards where there might be COVID patients, do they merit it? Then there was, well, should all healthcare workers get it, or is it only the ones who weren't exposed but had to put in an extra effort? Then it became, is it just attendance? So do the people who were going to work every day when others didn't have to, should they get it? And once you got there, you got to the level of, well, if that's the case in the public sector, why not kick it open to the private sector as well and say, well, if you're getting paid for attending a public sector job, well, surely the people in retail did just the same thing in just as difficult environment and they should get it. How does the Gordian knot get untied?
It's a very, very good question, and one that ministers are really struggling with, and they seem to, even amongst themselves, sort of be expanding that list every day. So last night, or kind of overnight Irish time, the Taoiseach in New York suggested that yes, those retail workers should be rewarded in some way, because particularly those who were working in supermarkets at the height of it, they were putting themselves in every much a risk of infection as some healthcare workers were. And you kind of have two, then the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has kind of been talking about two different camps as well. So you've got the healthcare workers of all the various hues that you've just outlined there. You've got people who are working in supermarkets, but other people who were coming into contact with members of the public and potentially coming into contact with COVID. So the likes of the Gardaí, of the Defence Forces, of people who were driving buses, working on public transport, teachers, if you wanted to take that a step further, for the while that schools were open and were putting themselves into more risk scenarios.
Taxi drivers.
Says they're not taxi drivers, exactly. Loads of them. So you've got all of those people who were putting themselves at risk. And then on the other side, you've got people who weren't public facing. If you look at, and the Taoiseach in particular has referenced the Department of Social Protection, people in revenue, for example, who did a lot of work above and beyond their usual job to keep things like the PUP payments and the wage subsidy schemes going and get them off the ground.
But call centres and banks.
Lives at risk. Call centres and banks, if you want to go one further, journalists who were, you know, put beyond busy in the last year.
Dead right, Sean. Let's start there.
I'm going to make that campaign now, Anton. I'm going to get my pound of flesh in this budget. But you see where you keep on going down the list. So how do you delineate between them is the big question. And I think even this morning, the INMO on News Talk Breakfast saying, look, we have to make a line here between healthcare workers who went above and beyond everyone else and they have to get something better. But then how do you reward the others? It's a very complicated knot. And how you do it in the first place. Michael McGrath was in the Dáil yesterday outlining the costs of this, and they are very, very high. I know you were talking on the show yesterday about the $377 million to allow the 10 days of leave that the Dynamo say wasn't in the final submission that they were in the government, but was the figure they put out last year, 10 days of extra leave to address fatigue and burnout and all those things. And it would be a base of $377 million, according to Michael McGrath, but realistically, at least $500 million when you take into account you have to replace those who are off with agency staff or with cover or whatever. And then if you were to expand that out to the rest of the public service just for those 10 extra days, you're talking a bill of well over €1 billion. That's pretty much all of your spending. We haven't got the final spending figures of the budget yet, but pretty much all your budget discretionary spending gone in one go without going near the private sector. So the money behind this is very complicated, and it's going to be a hard one to work out.
Anybody who has ever had to do a budget relating to an awful lot of people will know that an insultingly small amount of money to the individual fast becomes a huge cost on a P&L. You know, you insult 100,000 people in the health system by throwing them a tenner, it's still £1 million that you have to find somewhere. And as this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the likelihood of having the money to pay the kind of expectations, are we looking at a situation therefore, Sean, that however many get rewarded, this is more likely to be recognised by the breach rather than the observance, that there will be a far greater amount of people who feel insulted or left out than who feel cherished when all is said and done?
Yeah, I think we're getting into that territory now, definitely, because it started out, as I said, fairly simple. And the government thought, yeah, this is a good idea. We'll reward the pandemic workers. Nice, easy PR win. And it's kind of just become unwieldy now after that. And so anyone who doesn't get this sort of bonus, who feels like they went above and beyond during the pandemic, is going to be like, oh, well, why? Obviously, my work doesn't count to this government. So I'm suddenly insulted by this, or I'm not getting the recognition that I deserve. And I thought, actually, there was a good point made by the unions, again, on News Talk Breakfast, that had the government perhaps just let the HSE deal with this directly as an employer and said, right, as your direct employer, we're going to reward you, it probably would have been much more simple and there'd be much less a fuss about it. But that's not the route they've gone down. They have tried to win some political kudos with this, and as a result, it's become very unwieldy. So they're going to have to sit down with the unions, no doubt, a few more times before the budget and work out what it's going to be. My own expectation is it will sort of land somewhere in the middle, where you're getting a bit of a bonus, maybe not as much as you would have wanted, but that something's still affordable. So that 10 days of leave might become 5 days of leave plus a cash bonus. There might be a greater amount for those who are working in healthcare and slightly less for everyone else. And of course, there's a suggestion in the Irish Independent today that there could be an extra bank holiday as sort of a bonus for everybody. And that's something a few TDs have bandied about during the year, more so directed at tourism and giving them a boost towards the end of the year. But something else that is sort of in the ether there is a kind of...
Oh, but as you say, each one of those, Sean, every one of them comes with the, well, that'll exclude X, that'll exclude Y, that'll offend A, that'll offend B. A text now coming in saying, my wife worked in retail through the pandemic as a taxpayer who was put on wage support and had her wages reduced by 15%. Are they now asking her to pay for all public servants? Bad enough that she has had to pay for their overgenerous pensions. Another, as taxi drivers were driving patients to dialysis, radiotherapy for fixed account work, often being paid €6 despite waiting with patients in cars for an hour to allow for social distancing in wards. What about dental nurses and dentists who have had to wear full PPE gear in the heat all the way through the summer, not knowing what was coming in the dire emergencies who were being worked on? What about the truck drivers who kept food on the shelves of supermarkets and made deliveries for all kinds of hospitals, etc., etc.? Is there an argument to be made, Sean, that this should have been done some time ago when it was still nice and fresh and might have been seen as a positive gift, but that so much time has gone by and the expectations among so many have become so high that this is now a nightmare politically?
Yeah, I think definitely. And once you go through those, all those different occupations, I'm sure there's plenty more on the text line that you think, oh yeah, they did a lot of work and we kind of forgot about those guys. And you know, there's so many people there who deserve to be rewarded for their work because they did go above and beyond. And now it has become that monster. It is just rolling and rolling. You're getting more and more people in. And as you said yourself, a lot goes a little way, really, when you're dealing with the budget numbers. And on top of that, you kind of have to address, if you want to take a step back and look at it from a real budgetary point of view, is this the best way to spend money? Is giving everyone a little bonus, a la say what they did in Northern Ireland, where everyone got their €100 to go out and spend it and try and get the economy going, is that the best way to do things, or should we actually be redirecting this money towards services in the first place? And on top of that, you factor in everything else that's going on behind the scenes with the budget, with whether or not there's going to be tax indexation. That looks pretty certain. That's going to come with a big bill as well. Leo Varadkar in the Dáil yesterday confirming there's going to be a rise in the minimum wage in the budget. That's something you have to plan for, not just in this budget, but out through further ones. And he suggested he wants a living wage to start at the end of 22-23. Suddenly, it's a very big spend. At the same time, the Pascal Donoghue was saying he wants to cut debt back on borrowing and get the budget back into a manageable position within 2 years. So this budget is going to be an absolute nightmare of a headache for Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath to work out, to try and keep anybody happy, let alone keeping everybody happy.
That is Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent.